Accession number 6374, roll number 3.
Mr. Maguire, reel 3.
We could see bombers coming over, and we could see that were rather low, and they were RAF bombers. We learned afterwards from the Japanese that these bombers had been flown from India. The bombers had bombed some of the bridges on the Kwai and destroyed most of the bridges and also engines and carriages. Two of the bombs fell on Nampladup camp and killed a number of Dutch prisoners of war who were with us but in another part of the camp. They also destroyed the marshalling yards there. After that, we were put on board the steel trains once again. And were taken back to Singapore. We stopped again at Kuala Lumpur, then Sagamis, and then before we drew into Johor Bahru, the capital, the train stopped, our train stopped, while a passenger train was going the other way towards Siam. It stopped. We looked in and saw Japanese officers in the dining room. They waved over to us. We waved back. Then we went on to Singapore again, over the causeway down to the railway station from where we'd started. We marched from the station, such as it was, to a place called River Valley Road. On the way, we stopped outside a place called Outram Road, where there was a prison. From there, we went to another camp that was back to Changi Prisoner of War Camp again.
Did you stay there long?
We stayed there 5 weeks.
Where did you go after Changi?
From Changi, we were taken by truck down to the docks, where we boarded a tramp steamer. I may say the tramp steamer was built in John Brown shipyards at the Clyde, and its name was on there and built by John Brown of Clydebank.
Can you remember its name?
No, I can't remember its name now. No, no.
What were conditions like on board?
They were appalling. When we got on board, we each had to carry a large portion of rubber that was being transported to Japan. Some of us were put down the hold, I was one, went down the hold, but conditions were so frightfully hot, there was many people started to faint. So we're all brought out again, and we had to lie on the decks, either fore or aft. And when it rained, you got wet. And when it was sunny, you were scorched. We left Singapore docks on July the 4th, 1944, Independence Day in America. Now, this little ship, it had a crew who were good to us in what way they could be. The captain, he was the person who was responsible. He told the Japanese, "I am in charge of this ship, not you. If I say they come out the hold, they come out the hold." Which we did. On board the ship, on top of the hold, was a car. It was bound for a Japanese general in Manila. And in the car, there were cases of whiskey for the Japanese general, which he didn't get. He got the car.
Was this Japanese captain Japanese merchant navy?
He was Japanese merchant. Oh, yes, merchant navy. Yes, yeah.
Why did the Japanese general not get his whiskey? What happened to the ship?
What happened to the ship? No, what happened to the whiskey? It was stolen.
How?
Well, with us, we had the remnants of the Argyll and Southern Highlanders, who, when they didn't fight the Japanese, when they didn't fight in Singapore, the military police, our military police, they fought with themselves. And being Scots, they were very fond of the local tipple. So they broke into the car and pinched the whiskey and gave some to the crew. When it discovered that the whiskey has gone, there was an inquiry. They never found out who had stolen the whiskey, but when they saw some of the crew staggering about, they said it was them. And they were punished by the Japanese.
Were the Argyles?
Pardon?
Were the Argyles punished?
No. No, never found out who stole the whiskey because they said it was the Japanese crew that had stolen it. And it was obvious the Japanese crewmen were staggering about.
What happened to the ship?
The ship itself, we eventually it made it to Manila. And we stopped in Manila Bay for a bit until we could get room to dock. And when we were docked there, we could see through the godowns a Japanese liner, the Asama Maru, A-S-A-M-U, Maru, with nurseries going on board. We left after that, after calling. We could touch the side of the dock, but we couldn't go ashore. We couldn't go onto the dock. So we set sail again. And 3 days out, we ran into a typhoon. And the waves were coming right over the ship as high as the masts. As high as the ship masts. And we were floundering. We had to go and bail out. We got buckets, and people were downstairs bailing out with the buckets and emptying the buckets over the side. But as fast as they were bailing out, more water was coming in. The ship was in a bad way. And when we got to the south coast of then Formosa, now Taiwan, the engineer manoeuvred the ship between two rocks to steady it. Then they radioed for help from the Japanese Navy. And the Navy sent down 3 destroyers. And we got out and swam over to the destroyers. And we were helped on board. And I may say that the Japanese Navy people did their best as much as possible for us. They gave us hot water and hard biscuits. But we were put down below in this Japanese liner.
Was this a liner or a destroyer?
No, sorry. It was a destroyer. We came to the northern port of Taiwan, a place called Keelung. And the liner which used to sail from Yokohama to Valparaiso came to collect us. So we left the destroyers, and being beaten, we had to get into this liner. I think it was called the Valparaiso Maru. And we were put down in the holds. Where there were wooden beds. And we were locked in. Now, the doors were shut, but not quite, for the Argyles and Gordons, they had jammed the doors so they wouldn't shut. If there had been an accident, we would have all gone down with the ship. But on board the ship, there was a company or a battalion of the Imperial Guards Division. Now, Japanese are not very tall, but these Japanese guards, like our own guards, were tall and wore the same type of cap as our guards. And they were very good to us. They would give us extra food when they could. We used to get buckets, wooden buckets, filled with rice and potatoes and vegetables. We got them, and the Imperial Guards would come along and give us what they had as well. we eventually docked. The liner docked at a place called Moji, M-O-J-I. That's a northern port on the South Island.
What's happened to you there?
Well, when we came off the liner, we went to a pool. Went to a place where there was a pool where we could wash ourselves, Japanese fashion. That is, they gave us soap, and we washed ourselves outside with the soap, and then scoop water over our soapy bodies outside the pool, so we wouldn't contaminate the clear water with the soapy water. After being nicely cleaned, most of us had lost most of our clothes, and what we stood up on, and it was wintry, we were taken, I should say, that when we were washing ourselves, Japanese ladies came and scrubbed our backs for us. We were taken from there to in a coal barge. We got just as dirty again. To Yubi. That was the camp where we had to work in the coal mine. When we got to the camp, they had separate rooms where we were, where I was. There was one long room with beds on each side. When I say beds, we just lay on the bamboo slats and give them pillows, hard pillows to rest our necks. Then at each, the other parts of the camp, they were a better accommodation. In each hut, everyone had a wooden tag. When you left the hut to go to the ablutions or anywhere in the camp, you had to take your wooden tag with your number in Japanese on it and put it on a peg. If anyone came in, they could say, number so-and-so is out. Where is he? And you would have to say, or someone would have to say, he was at the cookhouse or seeing an officer, or he's been called over to the guardroom. Everyone had to do that. And if you didn't, you were punished for it. You were beaten because simply you hadn't put your tag on the proper place. You had to learn to speak Japanese. You had to number in Japanese. You had to bow Japanese style to everyone, I should say, every Japanese, whether he was an officer or a private soldier. Now, there was one fine person, an officer, a captain, a Japanese captain, whose height was 6'5". He was good to us. He would talk to us. He could speak perfect English. He announced to us that he had been to Oxford University. His father was a brigadier. Every morning, the Japanese guards would come in and shout, "Tenko." We would get up, parade outside the guardroom, and be marched to the coal mine. Now, the coal mine was known as Yama. It means either a hill or it means a hole. The Yama meant the mine. A mountain is known as a Yama, hence Fujiyama. When we got to the mine, we went into a room where we had to do Japanese calisthenics, counting in Japanese time. From there, we went to the end of the corridor to collect our lamp, and given our wooden tags, which we had to take with us. Then, at the end of the corridor, before going down the mine, we were searched in case anyone had matches or cigarettes. Because the mine, I should say, is not like mines in this country where you go down a lift shaft and come up again. It's known as a drift mine, where you walk down and you came to a decompression chamber and you went through that. Then from there you went to your working phase.
What type of work were you doing? Hacking the coal?
Hacking the coal, yes. Well, we had Japanese, what they call one ringers. They wore a ring round there to show he was in charge.
Round the sleeve?
Round the sleeve, down there. And they had drills. They drilled into the coal shaft, coal face, then put in dynamite, and then stuffed it until it was tight. And then we would give them a shout and we'd all clear away while they blasted the face. I should say, the first day down, going down the mine, we met a party of Japanese with stretchers. They had 6 dead Japanese miners on there. They had been killed by a blast of dynamite. When the explosion went off, we had our shovels and picks and loaded a runway with coal, and it came out at the end and all the coal that had been extracted went into a wooden
trolley?
a wooden wagon, where when it was nearly filled, the Japanese one ringer would pull a bell, would pull a wire that indicated to the person at the other end to move the trucks along on a ratchet until the next truck was there to be filled up, and so on, until the last truck was filled up. Then they would stop. Then all the trucks would be hauled away and it would go on up and be taken up right to the top.
Were there any accidents whilst you were there?
Yes, there were. Two or three. Well, people who had been hurt, instead of keeping away when the blast was, and some of the coal had struck them, but not too bad. Myself, we were waiting for some of the trucks to be loaded somewhere else, and a runaway truck came round and trapped me. That's why I've got a wound on my right leg. Also, my nail was nearly torn off. So when the Japanese foreman, well, this time the foreman had three rings. When he saw it, he got a dirty piece of cloth, put some oil on it, and wrapped it round my finger. Then he said, "Top." So two of my unit helped me up, and I checked out my lamp, which you must do, and got my tag back, and they took me to the Japanese medical section off the mine. Now there were two or three nurses there, and they said, "Oh." So they took the dirty rag off and put on clean bandages. Then looked at my leg and said, "Oh, Kampo." So with the guard, they called the guard and took me back to the camp again.